You're listening to the Now of America Audio.
Ladies and gentlemen, batting third here on the 2015 BOA Audio Baseball Special is our dear friend Loren Coleman. He is the author or co-author or contributor to just a myriad of books. He can tell you the total when we get going, but it's quite a number of books. He's an all-time legend in the field of cryptozoology. Of course, he is the proprietor of the International Cryptozoology Museum in Portland, Maine. You can find out more about that at internationalcryptozoologymuseum.com. And as I said, he's an all-time legend in the world of cryptozoology and a dear, dear friend of us here on the program, and a hardcore baseball fan and an ardent Boston Red Sox fan. So we have a kinship unlike any other guest here in the BOA Audio universe. So it's always good to bring him back on the show. He's actually missed the last couple of baseball specials, so it's great we've got him back here this year for the 2015 special to talk about all things baseball and get an update on what he's been up to. So welcome back to the show, Loren.
Thank you, Tim. It's good to be back here. And it is snowing here in Portland today, but I do hear that spring is around the corner.
Oh, yes.
This is still in March.
March 30th. That's the problem.
Right.
That's the problem. Yeah, I've still got a good well over a foot outside here. It's unbelievable. And allegedly they'll be starting the season next Monday. So we'll see how that goes. I'll be interested to see how far into the season it goes before the snow is actually gone from my yard. This could be like record breaking. But this, we're getting ready here for the 2015 season. It's been a really weird, 3 years, 4 years here for the Red Sox. Worst to first, back to worst. Who knows what they're poised to do this year. I guess just before we even get in, like, how are you feeling right now? Cause I don't know how to feel. I haven't watched a lot of spring training games, but, I'm hearing some good things. The pitching's still really suspect, but I'm not sure how they're gonna fare this year. What are your feelings?
Well, I think they're going to surprise us. I do think that management is very committed to not losing their fan base. And towards the end of last year, they certainly lost it. The all-time sellout record collapsed, and people started watching other things on TV besides the Red Sox games in the Ness and New England area.
Yeah.
And I think that they really committed a lot of money, a lot of trades. I think it was fantastic, actually, to see them trade Lester and, all of the pitchers at the end, to the Giants with the old pitchers from other places that they'd rented, and then they moved them on. And I think that really worked because it gave people hope that, as opposed to just dwindling away money for another season for a pitcher that's going to probably do okay, to really revitalize the team was what they needed. They needed more hitting, and they got that with the, Mr. Pandaman and all
yes.
kinds of other people. and then also there's some good pitchers there, and they got, some pitchers that look like they were going to move along anyway. And I also think that they're not done. I really do think that they'll try to go for Cole Hamels in probably August whenever, they need extra boost. So I think that's the whole thing with the Red Sox is that they're not done. They're not giving up. And I really am predicting them to take the division, to take the AL East. I think they're going to be that good. I don't think they're going to win the series. And I hope that people don't, lose faith in them again just because. But I do feel the management's the ownership is very committed.
Hmm.
To not having them miss the playoffs again. I think that's their goal.
Now you're a great, you have a great eye for this sort of the behind the scenes sort of machinations of all this. What's your take on? Because you said you were happy that they traded Lester. What's your take on sort of the debacle of them trying to get Lester back, and the early contract offer that he rebuffed, and that it sort of set up the whole thing that went awry, and then they traded him, and they tried, like I said, they tried to bring him back. And it just seemed like a big mess and kind of a big PR disaster for them. But other people think that their pursuit of Lester in the offseason was kind of a PR move in and of itself. Well, they knew they were going to get outbid by the Cubs. So as long as they put in the effort or made it look like they were going out to try and get him back, then they thought they would look okay. But what's your take on how it all went down?
No, I actually agree with that kind of analysis of it. I don't think they really honestly thought they were going to get Lester back. But I think they owed it to the fans to say, look, we tried. We really didn't want to lose him. And I don't think they really wanted to lose him. But towards the end of the season, when the season was a disaster, they had to. So here the other kind of underlying thing, of course, is that Theo, who was, you know, the general manager at the Red Sox, moves over to the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got an in there. And it's you see a lot of that going on with the connections to San Diego sometime, the connection to other places where these people move around, and they naturally have these relationships. So I think Lester has found a home, and Theo with the Cubs really felt he needed to do something. He needed to do something big.
Yeah.
So you keep fans on both coasts, in the middle of the country and on the coast, happy. So that certainly worked out. And I do think that they really weren't going to get him back, but they tried, and actually tried because of the PR, not because of any actuality.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of how it seemed after it all shook out. Now, you saw they got Hanley Ramirez back. Now, you kind of watched him grow up in the farm system there, so you must be, I presume you're kind of excited that he's back with the Red Sox and finally going to get a chance to actually play, you know, make a run here with the team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I saw him at Hadlock here in Portland. He played with the Sea Dogs. And it was really kind of understandable why they did it, to get Josh Beckett.
Mm.
But he was a potentially great player from the very beginning. So I like to see him back. And I think it actually he needs a little change of venue, because he kind of was losing it. You know, he's one of these guys that gets a reputation of being a hothead, and then it's kind of hard to shake.
Yeah, yeah.
So now he seems like David Ortiz will be his mentor, and you know, have Pablo over there, and you kind of have a little Hispanic mentoring system going on with Boston, and I think that's going to help him a lot and calm him down.
Right, right. Yeah, when they were bringing him in, and that was in a lot of the articles that him and Ortiz are like really tight. He's kind of like his mentor, so it'll be good that they're together now. I think it's gonna work out really well. I'm really optimistic about the two new signs,
yeah.
Two guys.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the Red Sox try the Japanese route with their pitchers, and you know, they get some good ones, but they also make some mistakes. Whereas with the Cubans and other Hispanic players, tend to really settle down in Boston and really produce, and that's kind of always good to watch.
Yeah, it'll be exciting to see, talking about that, the kid they signed. He probably won't be, you know, we probably won't see him in the majors for a couple of years, but I was just amazed. I mean, it's not really luck, it's just money and how it all shakes out, but I was just amazed.
And good scouting, and they do listen to people like David Ortiz, who's still watching what's going on in the Dominican Republic. So I think they listen to their players, too, about who they should be watching and who they should pursue.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be interesting, because, you know, they were saying about this kid that he's like, if he was just in a regular draft, he'd be the number one overall draft pick. So for them just to go out and get what would be a number one draft pick is an awesome turn of events for them. So I was thrilled to see that. Hopefully it all pans out with him. Do you think this is sort of off the beaten path a little bit, but given, I think the rules have changed, but do you think now we're going to see this whole influx of Cuban players because the diplomacy is sort of thawed between the two countries and maybe it'd be easier for them to get here?
I think we might see more of that, but it's still going to cost a lot. So I think that's one of the determining factors, is just because, you know, we can get a lot of Venezuelan players or Dominican Republic players, doesn't mean that they have the money to keep shipping them up here. Whereas Cuban, it's almost as if the forbidden fruit has actually raised the price on some of the Cuban players.
Yeah.
And now it might actually lower the prices, so we might see more competitiveness among the players from Cuba.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. Cause just to get them, they had to like escape and then go through all this stuff, and then it became
right.
Like overbidding on them and everything. Yeah.
Right. Live for a year in, you know, Costa Rica or something so they can draft them.
Yeah, exactly.
All kinds of manipulations occurred, but not so much anymore.
I'm trying to think if, so you feel good about the pitching for the Red Sox? I do. A lot of people are sort of down on them, but the pitching part of it. But I don't know. I kind of feel like they got a lot of guys who kind of want to prove themselves a little bit here. So if they kind of have the right chemistry and the right, you know, but if it all comes together well, I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah, I do too. I think that somebody like Clay Buchholz, who's really felt like a minor actor all the way along, if you get rid of, you know, some of the number one aces that are supposedly in front of him, then he's got to be more responsible.
Yeah.
And then it inadvertently increases his confidence. I mean, for all the time that Clay was in a minor leaguer and stuff, there was almost the expectation that he was going to fail. And, you know, he'd have the injuries or he'd have the no-hitter game. And so it was always hot and cold with him. But I think now you almost get the fire in the belly is there. And with somebody like him, I think we might see a surprisingly good year out of him.
Okay. Now, you said as we began that you have thoughts on the different teams here for your predictions. So we'll go right into predictions because I have a feeling we'll sort of delve into a lot of that rest of baseball, rest of the stuff going on in the league as we get into predictions. So we'll start it out here with the American League East. Who you got?
I definitely have the Red Sox. Will be the surprise winner of the division. Once again, it's mostly based upon not any one star player, but I think their consistency across a really good team that some good ads have come to. And then also, like I say, I think that the Red Sox, in some ways, like the traditional Yankees, have always been willing to add mid-season to really block some holes up.
Yeah. For the American League Central.
Okay, I think I might surprise some people. I'm really going to go with the Tigers.
Oh, that is a surprise. Yeah, so far everybody's kind of given up on them so far on the special. So good to see you're still backing them. Okay.
Yeah, I think David Price and Sanchez, and the real key here though is Justin Philander has really been kind of hinting that he's hurt, that scares me a bit. So maybe the Indians will crawl in there, but I'm going to stick with the Tigers to see if they can do something to win the division.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the window's closing on them, but they have some pieces there. If they keep Price, you know, they might be able to kind of put a Band-Aid on that before becoming like the Phillies, you know, who are kind of mired in old guys on big contracts. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
The American League West.
The Mariners.
Wow, that is a surprise.
Yeah, another surprise for you. I think Seattle has been wanting a winner, the ownership, the fan base, the players, and I think there's something about this year that's really not going to disappoint people. The Rangers, you know, losing their big Japanese pitcher is going to hurt quite a bit, and they're just dropping to the bottom. So I just don't see, you know, there's a lot of other possibilities with the AL West, but some of those may show up in my wild card picks.
There you go. All right, so what about those wild card picks? Who you got for the two wild cards?
Well, number one wild pick, I think, is definitely the Angels.
Okay.
I think their aces certainly get a wild card look, and we really shouldn't give up on them. They always disappoint, I think, quite a bit, but maybe this is the year at least they'll come through with a wild card.
Okay, and wild card two?
White Sox.
Wow.
I think they'll be the surprise off-season winners. Adding, LaRoche and Melky Cabrera and different people like that.
Yeah.
And really will have really tightened up their middle hitting spots, and that's really going to help them quite a bit.
Okay. Two questions coming out of the American League here for you. First, what do you think is going to become of Josh Hamilton? Lengthy suspension or what?
Josh who?
Josh Hamilton.
No, I'm just kidding. I really think that that there's something about, you know, there's, of course, addictive personalities that keep flipping, and we have to be supportive of people, and we have to really keep giving them chances. But I think at some point his chances are running out, and he just keeps doing that. I think they'll have to give him a lengthy suspension, and they'll have to really not give him any more chances than they would anybody else. I don't think I think that's going to disappoint him. He's going to be upset. And deep down below all of that, there seems to be some kind of anger. And he, you know, really tries to work it out with the alcoholism. But I'm hoping he really needs to just maybe take a break and look at where he's going.
Yeah.
I think retirement actually might be a surprise out of all of this.
Oh, wow. That would be a surprise, but I could see that, definitely. Yeah, actually. And the only other thing I was going to ask you about coming out of the American League is, based on these predictions here, no love for the Orioles, because I was kind of waxing about it with Bishop. You know, I feel like I overlook them consistently the last couple of years. But you don't have much. You don't think they're going to do much this year, or at least they're not going to get in the playoffs?
I think they're going to probably do better than the Yankees, and that's going to surprise a lot of people. But I don't think they're. I just don't think they're going to do well enough to be in any of the wild card. I really do like the Orioles. I actually rooted for them at the end of last year, mostly because of one player, the utility player Ryan Flaherty, is a Portland native, and he's sort of their good luck charm. Whenever somebody else goes down, they bring in Ryan Flaherty at second base or third base or outfield. But you can't play a whole bunch of games with a bunch of utility players, and they just don't seem to pull it together at the end.
Yeah. Okay. Those are my two things I want to ask you about with the American League. All right, so now into the National League. National League East, who you got?
National League East, I'm seeing the Nationals. The Nationals, I think, have good bats, good pitching, and, adding good old Matt Scherzer. If there's no injuries, they will not go away, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I see the Nationals as being really powerful this year.
Yeah, they seem they're poised. They're definitely poised for a real good run. National League Central.
Don't yawn, but I think it's going to be the Cardinals again. Just they're a good rotation, good coaching team, a good outlook on, and that they really can outlast the rest of their division. That division just doesn't seem too strong in the Central. I think the Cardinals will get it.
Okay. National League West.
National League West, the Dodgers. I hope Mr. Bishop is happy. But, they've added, Howie Kendrick and Jimmy Rollins and, different other people that is really going to help them hit quite well. And I think they're a solid team with good ownership, all the stars and all the Illuminati from the West.
So. Oh, yeah.
They've got it together.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so the two National League wild cards.
Well, I think one of them is definitely going to be the Padres.
Okay.
And I think the Padres with Shields and Matt Kemp and Justin Upton being added really at least improves them enough to get a wild card berth. And the Padres are one of those teams that's sort of been in the background and really kind of need to push.
Yeah, so. Absolutely, yeah. And the other National League wild card.
Well, my nod to the other National League wild card is going to the winners of the Back to the Future 2015 World Series. That would be the Cubs. I don't think they're going to go very far, but I think they're going to do well enough to win a wild card berth. And of course, in Back to the Future 2 in the year 2015, they did win the World Series in 9. Which you and I know is impossible considering the present rules. But Joe Maddon and John Lester are going to push them up just enough to do a little bit better in the past. But it's an extremely young pitching staff, too young, I think, to actually make the movie fiction into film reality. So into baseball reality, I should say. Yeah. So they're going to do well, but they're not going to do as well as some people are hoping. But I think we're going to hear about them because that's such a iconic movie that we're going to see clips about the Cubs winning the World Series and all of that. But I don't see them being in the World Series at all.
Okay. Well, you hit the two teams I was going to ask you about because I was going to ask you about the Padres and the Cubs. So you nailed those two. So, there wasn't anything. Nothing really. I'm not a big, I'm an American League guy, so I don't really follow the National League as much as most people do. So, I don't have too much questions about that. I think we nailed all the teams worth talking about. I think. So, who do you have facing off in the World Series? The American League champs and the National League champs.
I have the Mariners versus the Nationals, and the Nationals winning it.
Wow! All right. Nice.
I like bold this. Move, huh?
Yeah, I like this. All right. So you have the Mariners.
Am I the only one so far saying the Nationals?
I believe so. I think Adam Gorelli has the Orioles over the Nationals. But,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But no one's, as you can imagine, no one's gone with the Mariners yet. So that's a, that's a good pick, though. Now, we have one final thing we added in this year, because to try and break up the logjam a little bit in the standings at the end of the year, we have, I threw in an additional tiebreaker, and that is, what do you think the final score of the All-Star game will be?
Oh, my goodness. Final score, though. I'm going to go 5-3 with the National League winning.
Okay. That at least adds some extra points into the mix that we can use to break up ties and stuff. So.
Well, that's a good one. It's one you really can't research.
Exactly. Right. Right. It's sort of the perfect tiebreaker thing because, well, you know, I was talking about, you know, there's other things you could do like Cy Young winner, but who knows? Nobody might get that. Then it's worthless. So at least we know they're going to play the All-Star game, so we can.
Unless there's an earthquake or something.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
I was trying to figure out the scenario about how could there be 9 World Series games this, you know, this year to get make it because the headline in the paper is Cubs win in 5.
Yeah.
And that would have had to been because one of a tie game or a earthquake or something like that. So maybe something phenomenal is going to happen in the World Series this year.
That would be amazing. Did you have any thoughts? Last baseball question. Do you have any thoughts? Because as I said, you're a student of the game and everything, just like I am. Do you have any thoughts on the new commissioner at all? It's kind of like, it's like a new pope. So long between administrations. It's kind of amazing, to see the change, but I don't know if we'll really see any tangible changes, but what do you think?
I think that there'll be a lot of pressure on the new commissioner to do things like shorten the game and, you know, do more instant replay. In other words, stuff that the old commissioner didn't really want to deal with too deeply.
Yeah.
So I think that we may have a commissioner that's in there for 2 years. It may be a short pope.
Oh, wow. That would be
poison interesting. Poison in the middle of the night or something. You know, like they do over there in the Vatican sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's a person that's a transitional individual.
Yeah.
Not that's going to be there for a long time. And to try to deal with the new realities of new technology. But I think that the one thing that I think they're going to have to realistically look at is, are they going to have a DH? In both leagues, because, you know, with the strong union and everything, it's a way to keep on old players and old contracts. But I like the division. I like the, you know, I'm a traditionalist. I like some of the old rules. And I hope they don't try to manipulate the game so much to make it so fast.
Yeah. All right. Well, that concludes the baseball talk. What's going on with you? What do you got to plug? What have you been working on? I think we had you on the show last September, October. So it's been about 9 months or so. So, you know, what's the prognosis here for 2015 for Lauren Coleman?
Well, it seems like there's lots of little, you know, I'll be going to Nova Scotia to give a talk and going to Chicago and doing all these little things as I always do. But additionally, setting up and doing a conference, a rather large conference on international cryptozoology in January of next year in St. Augustine, Florida. And St. Augustine is a really nice venue for the museum to put on something in January. The winters have been so hard up here, and it's just a way to get people all coming together in a subtropic area that will be a fun. And of course, in 1896, that's when the giant octopus came ashore in St. Augustine, Florida. But we've also discovered a lot of other unique things, like Marineland down there is the site where they filmed the movie Creature from the Black Lagoon. And Creature from the Black Lagoon was actually inspired by the discovery of the coelacanth, which is our logo animal.
Yeah.
So there's lots of little connections. Also, the movie happened to be the first time that Clint Eastwood was in a movie, so that's kind of little trivia things. So that's fun, and we're also this summer, from July through December at the museum, we're going to have on loan from the Museum of the Weird in Austin, Texas. We're having the Minnesota Iceman.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's going to be fun, too.
Oh, I'm making the trip up to check that out. Absolutely, yeah. That sounds awesome. Yeah.
Good, good. That'll be good. Yeah, you should come up, and we'll go to a baseball game too to see the Sea Dogs.
I definitely will. I definitely will. I keep saying that every time I talk to you, but I promise this time I will.
Okay.
Well, like I said, we talked September, October. I think it's been snowing since then.
That's so true.
Yeah. So now that allegedly the snow is going to stop, I'll be able to make a trip finally and return. I was actually at the I was there like a couple days after you guys first opened, way back after the infamous Mass Monster Mash. So
it's been
a long
2009.
Time.
Yes.
Yeah.
When we did those interviews outside in the cold in that Monster Mash building.
I'll just never forget. It was when the Red Sox played the Rays in the American League Championship, and you and I snuck off to where the
right.
To where the, I don't even know what they are, the Friars or whatever, the Friars Club, wherever they got to hang out, the little bar they had inside the building, and you and I were
knocked
off
yeah.
in the middle of the conference to watch the American League Championship. That's one story I'll never forget. Of course, International Cryptozoology Museum.com is the website. It is the International Cryptozoology Museum. If you haven't checked it out, folks, it's outstanding. It's garnered so much national attention. It's really, every time I talk to you, I'm just so happy for you with the success of this museum. So I hope folks do check it out. And stay tuned to find out more what's going on with Lauren Coleman.
Thank you, Tim. And you have a good time, and best of luck for you there in Massachusetts.
Thank you, my friend.